Welcome to Earth Eats, a show of real food and green living. I'm Annie Corrigan.
And I'm Chef Daniel Orr.
Two weird vegetables in our episode today. How many times have you walked by sunchokes in the veggie part of the grocery store? Well, two recipes using this overlooked gem for you today. And there will be no chance of overlooking our Brussels sprouts. We're presenting them in a raw salad. But first, here's Lou Ann Johnson with a look at this week's news.
As part of the Healthy Hunger Free Kid Act, signed into law on December 13th, the U.S. Department of Agriculture has released new guidelines that will set the standard for school meals. The changes include adding more fruit, vegetables, whole grains, and fat-free and low-fat milk to the lunchroom, as according to a lengthy list of standards detailing the number and size of servings. Prices for cooking oils, grains, sugar, and meat have soared to levels not seen in 20 years. That's according to a new report from the Food and Agriculture Organization of the United Nations. The report measures the price of food commodities by the basket on the world export market. Prices have been on the rise for the past 6 months, ending in December at a new record high, surpassing the previous high of June 2008. Poor countries are more affected by fluctuating commodity prices than rich countries because they tend to depend more heavily on food coming from other places. During the expensive times of 2008, deadly riots in Egypt, Haiti, Somalia, and Cameroon were largely blamed on high cereal prices. And caffeine is becoming an increasingly regular part of many kids' diets. A study recently published by the Journal of Pediatrics found that 75% of children surveyed consumed caffeine on a daily basis. The Food and Drug Administration does not have a set guideline for children's caffeine consumption. However, the Canadian guidelines suggest that 4 to 6-year-old children should drink no more than the equivalent of the amount of caffeine found in a 12-ounce can of soda per day. Get more news updates like this all week long by following us on Twitter and liking us on Facebook. Just search for Earth Eats. For Earth Eats, I'm Lou Ann Johnson.
Few foods are as polarizing as Brussels sprouts. Love them or hate them, people seem to have an opinion on whether or not they deserve a spot on their dinner plate. And even if folks haven't tried Brussels sprouts, it seems as though their reputation as being nasty is the overwhelming assumption.
No, I don't eat Brussels sprouts. I don't know, I just never tried them. I've just heard they're nasty.
I like them. I cook them quite often.
I like Brussels sprouts.
And I didn't know about them at all until I started working on a farm.
They're like food that your mom forces you to eat.
I just assumed I would hate them, and then one day I found them frozen ones on sale, and I took them home and I sautéed them, and they were delicious. I mean, not delicious like a sausage patty, but for vegetables, they were pretty amazing.
I like them now. I used to hate them when I was younger. I've always loved Brussels sprouts. I love vegetables. All of them. They're so good and round, and you can just put them in your mouth.
It's like fresh.
Like, I'm serious. Like, it's just like a bite-sized vegetable. And you can just throw it in.
Thanks to Megan Meyer for compiling that segment. Let us know what you think about Brussels sprouts. Send us an email to eartheats@gmail.com. Your favorite vegetable. Hang tight for our recipe using raw Brussels sprouts. That's coming up later in the show. But first, two recipes using something you've perhaps seen in the produce aisle, but never cooked with.
All right, so today on Earth Eats, we're going to talk about sunchokes. A lot of people know them as Jerusalem artichokes, but they don't come from Jerusalem, and they're nothing like artichokes.
Oh,
so I don't know how they got that name. But as you can see, it's a tuber, it's a root. And they grow everywhere from the South clear up through Michigan. It comes from a plant that looks a lot like a sunflower. And they have a really kind of neat, nutty flavor. They're crunchy. You can eat them raw if you want to have a little taste.
Let's try this.
Ooh, delicious.
A little bit fruity. It has this touch of sweetness to it. And what we're going to do today is we're going to make a soup out of them, which is a really nice way to give an introduction to sunchokes to your friends and family. So basically what we're going to do is we're going to start, as we often do, with a little bit of olive oil and some garlic, because we love our garlic here at Earth Eats. And to the toasted garlic, we're going to add some chopped onions.
Stop right there. You hit me at garlic and onions.
Yeah, garlic and onions, that makes a house smell good. Makes the house smell like a home. And we're going to toss in the remaining ingredients, which are the sunchokes. We're going to add some potatoes to this. The sunchokes don't have a lot of starch in them, so the potatoes are going to act as your thickener and also just kind of bind everything together. After that, we're going to play on that kind of sweetness of the sunchokes with a few diced apples. And we don't want to let anything get real brown because we want to remain that real nice light color. We're going to add some of my seasoning, which we call sweet seasons. We're going to add a bay leaf and some thyme. And then we're just going to cover this with some water. Remember, anytime that you're making a soup, don't add too much liquid because you always can add more if you want it thinner, but you can't take it out once you've put it in there. In the summertime, I like to sometimes serve this cold and then maybe garnish it with some shrimp or some crab meat, which are really nice. But you also can take some of those raw sunchokes and dice them up and then put them in at the last minute, and you're going to get that crunchiness. So you'll have this real rich, creamy soup with the raw sunchokes, which will be nice and crunchy.
My heart is like an artichoke.
There's the soup, and now on to a sunchoke mousseline. These two recipes use the exact same ingredients, so only one trip to the store is necessary. They're prepared slightly differently, so they can be used in different ways in your meals. If you want to see pictures of these weird little things, go to our website, eartheats.org.
All we're going to do is got some diced Jerusalem artichokes. We're going to put the potatoes in next. The apples to give it that sweetness. We're going to pour a little water over the top, not much. And we're going to add some heavy cream, a little bit of nutmeg, and about 3 tablespoons of butter. So again, we're going to cook this until the cream has mostly evaporated and the potatoes and sunchokes are soft, and then we'll puree it and taste it. And it's a wonderful accompaniment for game, if you're into elk and venison and bison. It'd be just as nice with some seared scallops or a little bit of roasted fish. Or if you're a vegetarian, you could do a little assortment of things. You know, have some of this sunchoke puree and some nice green beans, maybe a little lentil salad and a couple other dishes.
2 recipes for sunchokes, or Jerusalem artichokes. These are healthy little things. They control blood sugar, high in iron, high in potassium. But, user beware, they do cause flatulence. One of the favorites of the cold weather season, Chef, Brussels sprouts. Favorites or completely not a favorite. It's either a love or hate with Brussels sprouts.
Well, it's all those cruciferous vegetables, things like broccoli and cauliflower and the different hearty greens like collards. Those things are great cold weather foods. And if they're prepared right, they really taste great. One of the things that gives Brussels sprouts in particular a bad rap to me is that they've been overcooked. You know, grandmother used to make an X in the bottom of them and boil them until they were soft. And that's just not showing much respect to the Brussels sprouts. There's a lot of great ways that you can use them. And when done properly, they are a favorite.
We've all seen bags of frozen Brussels sprouts at the grocery store. But getting them fresh is obviously the best way to go, right?
Well, if you find them at the market and they're still on the stem, that's one of the best ways to buy them. You know that they're fresh. And they are bizarre looking. The Brussels sprouts plant grows like – it looks like a cabbage for most of the year. And it gets this long stem on it with this kind of cabbage-like head on the top. And then these little tiny Brussels sprouts start popping out. And by the time harvest comes in the cold weather, they are about the size of quarters are almost as big as ping pong balls. They say that Brussels sprouts are best when they've been touched by one frost at least. So they really do like the cold weather, and they're supposed to be sweeter after the first frost.
Brussels sprouts being sweet. Boy, I never thought I'd hear that.
So we're going to do something completely different today, and we're going to do a salad with raw Brussels sprouts. What I do is I've cut them on a mandolin. And a mandolin, it's something that is used a lot in France. And you could also use a knife and cut the Brussels sprouts as thinly as possible.
They're really beautiful.
Do you want to try one of these?
Love to.
Raw? I think that they almost have a little wasabi flavor in them.
They do.
And wasabi is actually, people think of it as being a horseradish root, but it's actually not. It's a member of the cabbage family.
It does have a little bit of a ping at the end there.
Mm-hmm. Mm. So we're just going to just toss these with a dressing that we're going to make right now. I've got a little bit of chopped garlic. We're going to kind of play off that little bit of heat with a little crushed red pepper. Got some scallions. Got a little bit of fresh thyme. Now, thyme is one of those herbs that's great to use in the winter. I think thyme and rosemary, they're kind of hardier. They're still out in the garden into November. A lot of times I like to plant those herbs in pots and then bring them in the house, and then I can use them throughout the wintertime. Okay, now we're going to make the dressing by adding some olive oil. Finish seasoning with the lemon juice, salt, a little bit of Parmesan cheese, and some sunflower seeds to give it a little crunch. And we've toasted the sunflower seeds.
Boy, that couldn't have been easier.
So quick, so easy. And if you get a whole big stalk, you can do this the first night, and then maybe the second night you want to cook them, steam them. And a lot of times what I like to do, especially if you have bigger ones, is to cut them in half before I cook them. And that way I can just basically blanch them, then shock them in cold water, and have them around, and then just give them a quick saute to reheat them. Okay, and that's all there is to it. Let's serve it up and give it a taste.
Oh, that's delicious. Oh, I love that, the citrus and the lemon that I'm getting with the nuts. Woo! If you're not a Brussels sprouts believer, this might make you one.
We want to hear from the Brussels sprouts converts out there. If you tried this dish and you loved it, we want to know about it. And we want to know how you use Brussels sprouts in your cooking. Submit your recipes to our website, eartheats.org.
Support for Earth Eats comes from Blooming Foods Market and Deli. Information at bloomingfoods.coop. Earth Eats is a production of WFIU Public Media. Thanks for listening. I'm Chef Daniel Orr.
And I'm Annie Corrigan. See you next time.